Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, Robbie Starbucks said it well. You don't get more CNN than this. CNN, oh, for Pete's sake. This is the oh, for Pete's sake moment. I wait till you hear about this story if you haven't seen it yet. And the New York Post, this CNN reporter, apparently this CNN reporter was not so kind to our troops that saved her butt over in the Middle East, from what I've heard about this particular CNN reporter. But boy, this CNN reporter, she thought she was quite the hero. She thought she was quite the hero. Prisoner that CNN helped to free from Syrian prison was actually a notorious Assad regime torturer. My goodness. Wait till you hear more about this story here. And she thought she was such a hero. Get this on TV here. Get me in the footage. How's my hair? Look at me giving him water. Look at him holding my hand. Look at him with his arm around me. Yeah, that's a brutal, notorious torturer for the Assad regime. But nice work, CNN. I know you sure think you're quite the hero there, giving this man water, rescuing this pretty clean man from this awful prison. My goodness. All right, let's talk about the border wall. Great phone call there from Tom in Billings just before we wrapped up the 6 o'clock hour of this show. You know, he's saying, look, this whole drone thing, this is a distraction. He said the real story is how Joe Biden is doing everything he can to undermine President Trump and make it harder to build that wall on our southern border. Here's the latest from Eben Brown.
Sections of border wall not yet installed but left in construction piles during President Biden's term are now being auctioned off for pennies on the dollar. President-elect Trump says this is an attempt by President Biden to thwart migration controls he'll enact once retaking office.
It's almost a criminal act. They know we're going to use it. And if we don't have it, we're going to have to rebuild it. And it'll cost double what it cost years ago. And that's hundreds of millions of dollars.
The president-elect also criticized people buying it, only offering to sell it back to the incoming administration at profit. In Broward County, Florida, Eben Brown, Fox News.
Yeah, I think, you know, to be fair here, I think there is some of this border wall material, according to even, I think it was the Texas lieutenant governor, was it? Some of this stuff it's been sitting there so long they just left it out in the desert because they did everything they could to flood our southern border with illegals, and they should have built that wall. They should have continued building that wall. And so some of this material probably is junk. But I think there's truth in both. There, maybe some of the material isn't worth holding on to, but I also think President Trump, he always does his research. He has his facts. And even Ted Cruz is backing him up here and saying that, yeah, this is basically the vindictiveness of Joe Biden, the vindictiveness of the Biden regime trying to undermine the incoming president who's going to work to secure this country once again.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. A few flurries or snow showers possible in parts of the area early today. Otherwise, a breaks of sun develop with high temperatures in the upper 30s to around 40. For tonight, we can expect partly to mostly cloudy skies, low temperatures back in the low to mid 20s, and then the outlook for Wednesday calls for a passing rain or snow shower chance mainly in the Bozeman area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Donald Trump made news yesterday on everything from drones to the murder of the UnitedHealthcare CEO at a lengthy news conference in which he answered question after question after question. But he also accused the press of being very corrupt and said, after ABC and George Stephanopoulos agreed to pay $15 million to avoid an embarrassing deposition, in a Trump case, he said he would go after 60 Minutes for substituting a different Kamala Harris answer in what everybody in journalism agreed was a blunder. He said he would pursue legal action against Bob Woodward. He would pursue action against the Pulitzer Prize Board for giving the Washington Post and New York Times awards for what he calls the Russia hoax. He said he would go after the Des Moines Register and the way it handled pollster Ann Selzer. A lot of threats there, but obviously a big target. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Clint Peck is a former Montana Extension agent who started the Yellowstone Cellars and Winery in Billings. He's now back in action for American agriculture as a writer for Beef Magazine. We talked with him about one of his latest columns where he talks about the southern border being shut down for cattle, not people. Check out that story and much more, plus our conversation with Leslie Robinson, the first woman to be the president of the Montana Stock Growers. Full story on both MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, you don't get more CNN than this. That's how Robbie Starbucks summed up this story here. This first caught my eye from the X account, End Wokeness. Here we go. CNN on scene the moment a Syrian prisoner is freed. All right, so just let's set the scene for you here. All right, so a little over 1 week ago, it was that Sunday. It was a week ago Sunday. The Assad regime falls. So Assad was, he was the, you know, basically the dictator in Syria. I think his father was dictator before him, kind of like Trudeau up in Canada, but a little more brutal. Anyway, so for 50 years, the Assads had ruled Syria. And Assad basically was a puppet of Russia. He was a puppet of the terrorists in Tehran, Iran. And he fell. And he fled to Russia. He had to go running with his tail tucked in between his legs. And so as a result, so now all these various factions of rebels, you know, overthrew Assad and took over the government. And so as a result, so think about it, these brutal prisons where people had been held under Assad, now, well, the government collapsed. So I guess it's like, okay, so there were prisoners that were being freed. And hopefully we'll find more Americans who've been held captive as well. I know the families are patiently waiting to hear that type of good news. But anyway, so CNN is on the ground with some of their cameras, and they were at one of these Syrian prisons. And you can see it on camera. They come around the corner, and it looked like it was all staged anyway because, you know, the camera guy was waiting in the room, and then the reporter walks in. Oh, what do we have here? Well, let me play a little bit of the audio for you here. This is CNN on scene the moment a Syrian prisoner is freed.
Here, if there is something under the blanket.
It moved. Is there someone there? Someone there? Or is it just a blanket? I don't know.
Let me fast forward just a second for you here. So there's a brown blanket on the floor. And the camera guy's already in the room looking at the brown blanket. And then the reporter comes around the corner. Hello? Hello?
Oh. Help me.
I'm a civilian, he says. I'm a civilian.
It's okay.
He tells the fighter he's from the city of Homs and has been in the cell for 3 months.
Okay, you're okay. You're okay.
He clutches my arm tightly with both hands.
Okay.
Does anyone have any water?
Oh, yes. She acts as though she is the one who freed this innocent Syrian prisoner. Does anybody have any water? He clutches my arm. And then you got to watch the video to get the full effect. If you go to x.com/Aaron Flint, you'll see it here. And then it turns out that guy. And I, apparently people immediately who watched this video, they started raising questions because they're like, wow, okay, this guy is apparently a prisoner in one of the most brutal Syrian prisons out there. But man, he looks pretty healthy. He looks pretty clean. He looks pretty clean shaven too. Boy, he looks pretty good for somebody who's been, you know, brutally tortured in this brutal Syrian prison. Oh, that's because he's the guy who was actually torturing people in there. Yeah, Syrian prisoner freed by CNN last week is Salama Mohamed Salama, notorious Assad regime torturer. Oh, for Pete's sake, CNN. And that's where Robbie Starbucks says, does it get any more CNN than that? By the way, speaking of CNN, you know, they really needed that moment. They really, that was like their Hail Mary. They really needed that. They needed this fake heroic tale to try to boost their ratings, because have you heard about their ratings? I just got the Unleash Prosperity hotline. Stephen Moore does this great newsletter from the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. He makes this point. For months, these hate Trump propaganda channels assured their viewers that Trump was a loser. After he won, their ratings crashed. Fox now has more than double the audience of its two left-wing rivals combined. Here's what the Wall Street Journal reported. While viewers are flocking to Fox News in the wake of Donald Trump's election win last month, ratings for MSNBC and CNN have tumbled. The declines are far worse than what happened the last time Trump won in 2016. MSNBC averaged 603,000 primetime viewers from the day after the election through December 8th. 600,000? Like, for the entire country, they're a national TV program. Well, worldwide, frankly. And they can only get 600,000 viewers? That's down by more than half from the network's year-to-date average through the election, according to Nielsen data. CNN was down 46% to only 401,000 viewers. Meanwhile, Fox News was up 12%, averaging about 2.7 million viewers. Does anyone still watch CNN or MSNBC after all of their lies, after all their Trump hate propaganda? In fact, let's talk about this from a Montana angle. Why is anybody still watching their local TV news after the way they lied about Tim Sheehy, after the way they propped up the Democrat in that Senate race with the worst political TV coverage I think we have ever seen here in Montana? Are people still watching them after they lost all credibility?
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Most of us are too busy with our daily lives to pay much attention to what economists argue about. But one of those arguments has gotten a lot quieter since COVID. That's something called secular stagnation hypothesis. Economist Larry Summers famously declared about 8 years ago that the world's largest economies all suffered from stubbornly low growth rates, even with low inflation and with interest rates near zero. In other words, the conditions for investing and making bets on the future were excellent, yet no one was making those bets. You certainly saw that in Europe and Japan, and even to some extent in the U.S. But COVID, and more specifically COVID spending and inflation, turned it all upside down. Interest rates are higher, inflation is all around, even if a bit tamer, and growth in the U.S. at least has surged ahead. The policy needs of today are no longer trying to kickstart an economy that won't grow. It's taming the inflation monster that spending and growth have given us. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America.
Secretary of the Navy Carlos Del Toro spoke Monday at the 11th Annual Women, Peace, and Security Symposium held at the U.S. Naval War College in Newport, Rhode Island. The secretary stressing that the role of women in the military is not just expanding, it's necessary.
We are stronger when we welcome every qualified patriot who is eager to serve. That's not just a matter of national principle. It's a matter of national security.
Secretary Del Toro adding,
we must promote and institutionalize women's meaningful participation in all spaces and processes where national security decisions are made.
He says the Navy is a good example of doing just that.
From the depths of the oceans to the skies above and the rugged terrain of the battlefield, Women today fill our most vital and critical roles.
Del Toro says that the women who serve these days are true role models. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Congress is working to try and pass a continuing resolution to keep the government funded, but there were rumblings over the weekend that essential aid for the nation's farmers and ranchers would not be included in. It's reported that Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow moved conservation dollars from the Inflation Reduction Act into baseline for the Farm Bill program. She said she'd like to take the majority of those funds and put them into a package for farmers immediately. However, Speaker Mike Johnson says the majority of the GOP conference wouldn't support a proposed agreement that adds Inflation Reduction Act funding into the legislation's baseline. House GOP leadership says this is a Democratic priority, even though many lawmakers on both sides of the aisle support the move. Ultra-conservative GOP members want to outright cut those IRA dollars and block any additional federal spending. Additionally, some key Republican leaders want more money included for direct farm aid, along with a one-year extension of the farm bill as it expired back in September. In cattle news, the Montana Weekly Livestock Summary of the Billings and Miles City markets shows that strong demand for feeder calves, especially lighter weights moving south or west for feed, had the 4.5-5 weight steers seeing prices of $3.40 to $4.11, while 5 to 5.5 weights last week, $3.35 up to $3.71. 5.5 to 6 weight steers priced at $3.08 to $3.45. I'm Wayne Northlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let me see. So we've got phone lines open. We got something you want to talk about. Give us a ring, 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on our Montana Talks app. But hey, if you got something you want to talk about, I would call in right now, because every Tuesday in the 8 o'clock hour of the show, and then I think he'll stick with us through the 9 o'clock hour of the show as well, we've got John Jackson, the Joker from X, that joins us. But as you guys know, if you listen in, that goes by very fast. And a lot of folks want to jump in on the conversation. So we gotta get right to it and then move on, because, you know, I always feel bad because John has a bunch of stuff to talk about. I've got a bunch of stuff to talk about, but we never usually get to it all because we always try to, you know, get as many phone calls in as we can. So if you got something you want to talk about, give us a call right now, 294-0970. This was something that kind of set me off earlier this morning. I know you're like, yeah, big surprise there. All right. It's a funny clip. It's one of those funny, ha-ha, you got to laugh at it type of moments. But then it got me thinking, and it really got me fired up. And the reason it got me fired up is because, you know what, we've got men and women, we've got families here in Montana that are facing uncertain times right now. And I'm talking about our Stillwater miner families, who were laid off at the Stillwater mine. And I know, you know, some of them got new jobs, some of them are still looking for work. And you remember when, well, before I get into that, let me start with the funny ha-ha clip, and then I'll tell you why it set me off. Okay, the funny ha-ha clip is, did you guys hear about First Lady Jill Biden? She was at the White House, and did they even call it a Christmas party? They had a holiday party with a bunch of children there, which is, you know, nice. And they had a bunch of military families there, military kids, kids of service members at the White House. And she didn't say Merry Christmas. She kept saying Happy Holidays, Happy Holidays. The kids had to correct her. The kids corrected her and said, no, Happy Christmas. And she's like, oh, okay, yeah, Happy Christmas. So that was kind of funny. That, you know, she was trying to be politically correct. And the kids were like, no, it's Christmas. Call it Christmas. And then there's another. Well, anyway, let me just roll it for you. This was Laura Ingraham on her program last night. She had Raymond Arroyo on. And they always try to lighten things up.
Yeah. Over the weekend, Jill Biden tried to kick off the Christmas season, Laura, and she needed a correction.
Hello. How are you? Hi. Happy holidays. Hi.
Happy Christmas.
3 minutes, stations.
Yes.
3 minutes to your next Fox News.
From the mouths of babes. And then
Happy
at
holidays.
The DNC, At the DNC holiday reception, you played a little bit of this early, but not this part. Kamala Harris gave us her word of the day, work.
Fighting for the promise of America takes hard work. Now, y'all can help me finish this. Many of you have heard me say it. But we like hard work. Hard work is good work. Hard work is joyful work. We will continue our work.
Think you should take most of August off. I mean,
help me finish this. She is finished. But look, at least it was better than Joe Biden, who labored to address the crowd at the Labor Department earlier today.
I had no choice. My grandfather came down from heaven if I didn't do this. Excuse me, I have a little bit of a cold, and I'm honored. I'm honored to be joined today by leaders of character and conscience.
Oh, my God. I have a little bit of a cold. Well, why are you there, then? What are you even doing at the Federal Department of Labor? Oh, I have a little bit of a cold. Man, 4 years ago, they would have tried to throw you off the roof for coughing in public like that. Oh, it's just allergies. We don't care. Where's your mask? I mean, the way that the communist Chinese sympathizers at the Federal Department of Labor, if you coughed in front of them and you weren't wearing one of those stupid, worthless masks, boy, they would have tried to throw you off the roof. But here is. All right. So you're probably thinking, well, Aaron, what sets you off? Did you hear that? So he was at the Department of Labor, the Federal Department of Labor. That's where he was having his cough attack. That's where they were chanting and cheering. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. For what? Thank you for what? And it really fired me up that it was the Federal Department of all these people from the Federal Department of Labor that looked like they were on the set for some sitcom, cheering and laughing and smiling, just having a good old time. Don't you people have work to do? You're the Federal Department of Labor. Don't you have people that are in a tough situation heading into this holiday season, heading into this Christmas, that need your help? And here you are, cheering on the regime. Thank you, Joe. For what? You guys remember the Montana Department of Labor, our Montana Department of Labor, they got everybody from across the state down in Columbus to help our Stillwater miners. Where is the federal? Lay is slaying CNN here. Tammy in Kalispell just sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. Good morning, Aaron. Last week, the Post Millennial reported that CNN lost to the Food Network in national ratings. I can understand that. I like Bobby Flay much better than any CNN anchor. That was from Tammy in Kalispell. Thanks for the message. Let's see, Mike in Billings sent us a message. Biden gave 65,000 work visas to foreign truck drivers. Mike, if you got a news article, send that link our way. I'd love to read that one. That would be interesting. But yeah, that was what set me off. Our Montana Department of Labor, we had Sarah Swanson on the show with us. She's the commissioner of labor and industry here in Montana. Governor Gianforte appointed her to that post. Her family had farm equipment sales for many years, and she ran farm equipment sales out of Glasgow in northeast Montana for several years. And when they went down to Columbus, they had people from as far, they had people that worked for the Montana Department of Labor from as far away as Kalispell, all across the state. That swarmed like drones over New Jersey. They swarmed over Columbus, Montana to show support for our laid off Stillwater miners and their families and other, you know, folks impacted by the layoffs there. And I spoke with one miner in particular. He said, man, they were very helpful. And you know, they linked me up with this resource, linked me up with that resource, linked me with this. And so that's my question is, where is the Federal Department of Labor? And, you know, Senator-elect Tim Sheehy doesn't get sworn in until the first week of January, but he's getting to work. But where is a certain outgoing United States senator who is still getting paid by we the people to take care of these, should I add, union member miners? What's he doing other than just saying, oh, I'm getting the F out of here. Who cares? Right? No wonder that even Mitt Romney, even the Trump critic Mitt Romney, is now crediting President Donald J. Trump for reshaping the GOP into the working class party, the party of the working class. Yeah, if you missed it, Mitt Romney was on CNN, so no wonder you missed it. But here's what he had to say.
Donald Trump won. He won overwhelmingly. He said what he was going to do, and that's what he's doing. I mean, people are saying, oh, I don't like this appointment or this policy that he's talking about. But those are the things he said he was going to do when he ran. So you can't complain about someone who does what he said he was going to do. And I agree with him on a lot of policy fronts. I disagree with him on some things. But it's like, okay, give him a chance to do what he said he's going to do and see how it works out.
All right. So even Mitt Romney is seeing a little bit of light here as he exits the tunnel of the United States Senate. Let's see. Where should we go next? What should we talk about next? Why don't you tell us? I've got a couple of ideas, but you can call in or message us as well.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Charlie in Park City just messaged us on our Montana Talks app. You know, in the 6 o'clock hour, we were talking more about these drones over New Jersey and New York and all the concern now coming from both sides of the aisle and just the inept response out of John Kirby and the Biden White House across the board. And so there's been a lot of theories that have been thrown out there. But Charlie in Park City says this, they're government drones looking for a dirty bomb. So that was from Charlie in Park City. So on that front, you know, I said just before the break, I said, hey, I've got some things I want to talk about, but what do you think we should talk about? Where do you think we should go next? Charlie in Park City said, let's talk about these drones. Here we go. This is Jesse Waters and investigative reporter Michael Schellenberger. I had an interesting conversation about drones last night on Fox. And, of course, we are your Fox News affiliate here, 970 KBUL Billings, 1450 KMMS Bozeman, and 1370 KXTL Butte.
To date, our assessment is that this is lawful, legal, commercial, hobbyist, and even law enforcement aircraft activity. Some of it's manned, some of it's unmanned. We absolutely acknowledge that a lot of these are probably drones, but they're flying legally.
Hobbyists. These are hobbyists flying military-style drones in formation over military bases.
I mean, Jesse, this is an extraordinary situation. I mean, you have the president-elect and military base commanders all saying that the Biden administration is not telling the truth. In fact, we had Mayorkas and Kirby on Thursday and Friday both claim that there was no reported or confirmed drone sightings over military bases. It's been widely reported. There was a major investigation in the Wall Street Journal for many months, actually for many years, of drones being over military bases. They then said today, Kirby in that same comment, he said that they evaluated 5,000 cases over the last few days. It's inconceivable to me that they interviewed 5,000 people to figure out where they were standing, what time of day, where they were looking to be able to dismiss all of these cases. You know, look, people do make mistakes. I think there's been a lot of mistaken sightings without question, maybe a vast majority of them. But I mean, we obtained the conference call between the White House and New Jersey mayors today. The mayors are livid. One of them got up there and said, I had two automobile-sized drones hovering over my house, and they're making a lot of noises as opposed to a jet plane a very long distance away. So, you know, I think it's a remarkable situation to have Trump demanding this. I think we can count on some transparency now.
So, just to be clear, a hobbyist cannot buy an automobile-sized drone and hover it over a member of Congress's house. To be clear, that does not happen.
Inconceivable.
Inconceivable. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. You can't get that at Radio Shack. Schellenberger, good to see you.
Good to see you, Jesse.
Inconceivable. Now you're going to want to spend at least a part of your Christmas making your kids watch The Princess Bride. Okay, now, Squirrel, now I've been distracted. Have you guys seen that photo of the baby that looks like the guy, the actor? Looks like a little mini version of the actor from The Princess Bride. What's that guy's name again? Anyway, over the photo of this little baby, it says, I'm pretty sure this baby's first word is going to be inconceivable. All right, let's see. Where was I going to go next? All right, phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. Earlier in the hour, I think we started the 7 o'clock hour here by talking about Syria. And this CNN reporter thought she was being a hero and thought she was freeing a Syrian prisoner. And it turned out, nope, she was just had an arm wrapped around her and was giving water to the guy who actually tortured the prisoners in Syria. But boy, CNN, they sure wanted to make themselves look like heroes. And by the way, I've heard from a good source, too, that same reporter was not very thankful for some American troops that had saved her butt at least once, if not more, overseas. But I digress. But speaking of Syria, I know some of you may be thinking, hey, what is the latest with the situation on the ground in Syria? I mean, there was all this news about Syria 1 week ago and then just disappeared from the news after all the drones started swarming over New Jersey and New York. Well, I got a chance to catch up with Dr. Mehrdad Kia. He is the director of the Southwest Asian Studies Program at the University of Montana. He grew up in Iran, and I got the latest from him. So maybe I'll share a quick soundbite or two with you. If I don't have time to get to it, though, the full audio is on our Montana Talks podcast if you want to go back and find it. Into the phone lines we go. We've got Richard in Bozeman wanting to talk about the proposed gravel pit in Gallatin Gateway. That was a topic that we discussed last week. We actually had the ranch owner where the gravel pit would be located join us on the show. He said he wasn't getting fair treatment out of the press, so he wanted to be able to share his side of the story. It was Bayer Black who joined us last Wednesday on the program. But anyway, Richard, what's your thoughts on the proposed gravel pit in Gallatin Gateway?
Well, good day. As you know, my unfolding story with you in the past, going through the Billy's Last Diet stuff, but what you knew about me is I'm actually a business owner here in the Gallatin Gateway. I have a gravel hauling trucking business, so it's directly impacted by the gravel pits here. And so I called in last week, probably a little too late, so I wasn't able to get on with Mr. Black there. But I just wanted to first extend a thank you through you to him for, standing up to the outside assault of, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, he said something to the effect of there's some environmental groups and stuff with the neighbors and everybody else trying to prevent this whole thing from happening. But just as a fucking owner, there's a huge economic impact. They have to shut down. They have a pit down there in Morgan. They have to shut it down. It's just basically a depleted pit, and that's the reason why they're trying to move it there. But as we all know, Big Sky is a huge economic boost for the Gallatin Valley as far as the construction going on. And as a trucking owner, one of the big things about it is our cost and fuel going up and down there. And if they didn't have the Morgan pit, we had to go, that's probably close to an extra 45 minutes to an hour on our drives up there, which is, of course, increased fuel costs and everything else. And it just adds to the cost of construction in general, right? So, I'm in full support. The additional information, it was good news the other day when I heard you talking to him about that, and it was one of those things where it was like, man, they finally done it. It's been, in litigation and all and I thought that was great. Well, I just so happened to run across a couple of guys from TMC in management here in Belgrade, and just that same day, actually, and was just saying, hey, this is really kind of a good news. I'm happy for you. And he kind of said, ah, it's good news, yes, it's all good, but that group and everybody has already taken him to court. He says it probably won't happen, or at least it will happen, he says, now that it's been approved, but it probably won't happen for another 2 years. So,
interesting. Anyway. Yeah, it's, they're trying to just slow it down through the courts, slow it down with a legal battle. Yeah, no, it was fascinating hearing Bayard Black's side of that whole story. And I think you raise a great point. Richard, thanks for the call. Yeah, great to hear your voice. And, Richard's done so well thanks to Billings' last diet. Now Tim out in Savage has lost 60 pounds thanks to Billings' last diet. It's so cool. Everywhere I go, I run into people who have benefited from Billings' last diet. So always good to hear from you. But, yeah, what a great point that Richard and Bozeman just made about this proposed gravel pit in Gallatin Gateway. So if you read some of the liberal media sources, they quote these environmentalists that are trying to block this gravel pit. And they make you think, oh, a gravel pit's going to be bad for the environment. But they should move it to Ennis. Okay, if it's bad for the environment in Gallatin Gateway, why is it good for the environment in Ennis, right? But that point that Richard just made here right now, these climate alarmists, these climate activists, what do they always talk about? Climate change, climate change, climate change. And so, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you have to drive further in these massive trucks to truck all of that gravel, because that construction's happening, like it or not, it's happening. The question is, are you going to get the gravel closer to the construction or further away from the construction? If you move the gravel pit further away, you burn more fuel. So climate alarmist, doesn't that mean that you would actually be harming the environment more? Anyway, just throwing the question out there.
This is the energy of electrification. Available Type S high performance variant, nearly 500 horsepower and 278 mile EPA range rating. Choose from our complimentary charging packages so you can charge how you want. The all-electric Acura ZDX. This is the energy of innovation. Acura, precision-crafted performance. Count down to the new year in the all-electric Acura ZDX with $0 first month payment and $1 due at signing.
Fox News commentary.
The woman who accused three Duke lacrosse players of rape back in 2006 admitted she made the whole thing up. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Download the Kudlow Show podcast every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com. Kudlow covers the latest headlines and business trends with an emphasis on the financial impact facing households and businesses across the country. Listen to interviews with key business newsmakers. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Crystal Magnum, the woman who accused three Duke lacrosse players of rape back in 2006, effectively ruining their lives, admitted 18 years later that she made the whole thing up. I give her due credit for finally doing the right thing, and I hope she has found God, found herself, and is on a path to truth and righteousness. She is still serving time for an unrelated murder of her boyfriend, so prison has a way of making you think, I suppose. However, even though those three players were never convicted and the case was ultimately dropped, their lives were still torn up, flipped upside down, and destroyed over the false allegations alone. It was a media firestorm for them, for the university, and it set off a domino effect we are still cleaning up to this day. So while it's important to listen to all people who speak up about rape or sexual assault, this example highlights an ugly truth. Women are in fact capable of lying too. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. A few flurries or snow showers possible in parts of the area early today. Otherwise, a breaks of sun develop with high temperatures in the upper 30s to around 40. For tonight, we can expect partly to mostly cloudy skies, low temperatures back in the low to mid 20s, and then the outlook for Wednesday calls for a passing rain or snow shower chance mainly in the Bozeman area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Clint Peck is a former Montana Extension agent who started the Yellowstone Cellars and Winery in Billings. He's now back in action for American agriculture as a writer for Beef Magazine. We talked with him about one of his latest columns where he talks about the southern border being shut down for cattle, not people. Check out that story and much more, plus our conversation with Leslie Robinson, the first woman to be the president
of an additional 50% off your first month. Pure Talk.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so what is the latest in Syria, the latest news out of the Middle East here? You know, isn't it kind of interesting how that story was so big? It was all over the news a week ago, and then whoosh, just wiped off the front pages after you know, the drone swarm news came out, and so much more to talk about as well here. But how did Assad fall? What does the fall of the Assad regime in Syria mean for the U.S.? And much more. You know, we had insight from Dr. Mehrdad Kia a little over a week ago. We also had insight from retired Major General Paul Vallely out of Big Fork. Anyway, we caught up with Dr. Kia a week ago Monday, and then more recently I was able to chat with Dr. Kia and ask him, well, what has changed since, you know, a little over a week ago? What has become more clear? Because, you know, a week ago Monday, we were still just trying to figure out, okay, who are these rebels? Who's in charge now? Are they good guys? Are they bad guys? And then it quickly became pretty clear that, oh, this Jelani guy, the guy who is in charge now, apparently, he is a radical Islamist. So the new leadership is not good, but Assad wasn't good either. And so anyway, here is part of what Dr. Mehrdad Kia from the University of Montana had to say.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think what we have is the resurgence of one of the former branches of ISIS, the terrorist organization. Jelani was himself a member of ISIS. This group actually found a very small kind of territory just south of the Turkish border, and they set up camp, and then Turkey decided to finance and arm them and try to kind of reform them a little bit. Of course, reforming quotation marks. That is, you should abandon your traditional tactics of attacking innocent human beings, raping, decapitating, and terrorizing people, and act like a more like a rational sort of force. And Turkey had a very bad relationship with Assad, and to a large degree, Aaron, I think this is the revenge of Turkey against the Syrian government. But there are other forces. There is the National Army of Syria, that's in the south, and they received some help, I think, from us and Jordan, as well as Turkey itself. There is also the Kurds in northeastern Syria. They have established an autonomous zone in northeastern Syria. And there are other smaller groups which are at least a bit democratic, but they are not very powerful. The arms, which means basically the ones with muscle, are the Islamists. Now, it is not surprising when you look at the situation that United States has started bombing ISIS camps again in Syria.
All right, like I say, the full audio of that conversation with Dr. Mehrdad Kia, you can find that as well as all show audio on the Montana Talks app. Or if you get your podcast on Spotify, you can find it there as well. Man, it's crazy. December 17th, we got Christmas Eve in 1 week, and then it's New Year's Eve a week after that. Are you going to start the new year dealing with the same old joint pain? If you've got pain in your hips, pain in your back, pain in your shoulders, you know, you're thinking, man, if we get some snow, I'd love to go skiing, but oh, that's right, I got that knee thing. But I get it. You don't want to get surgery unless you absolutely have to. You don't want to get stuck on those pain pills either. No more steroid shots, none of that stuff. Well, what if there was a natural way to get over that pain? That's what QC Kinetics can talk to you about with a free consultation. You can find out if all natural regenerative medicine is right for you. QC Kinetics is in Montana. You can use HSA and FSA dollars to pay for it, but the consultation is free. Give them a call, 406-201-6263.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Most of us are too busy with our daily lives to pay much attention to what economists argue about. But one of those arguments has gotten a lot quieter since COVID. That's something called secular stagnation hypothesis. Economist Larry Summers famously declared about 8 years ago that the world's largest economies all suffered from stubbornly low growth rates, even with low inflation and with interest rates near zero. In other words, the conditions for investing and making bets on the future were excellent, yet no one was making those bets. You certainly saw that in Europe and Japan, and even to some extent in the U.S. But COVID, and more specifically COVID spending and inflation, turned it all upside down. Interest rates are higher. Inflation is all around, even if a bit tamer. And growth in the U.S. at least has surged ahead. The policy needs of today are no longer trying to kickstart an economy that won't grow. It's taming the inflation monster that spending and growth have given us. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.